As we were together, we were talking about the imagination. We're talking about how important imagination is. And once again, I want to make this statement again, because I needed to sink into your spirit so you'll know how you operate. Your spirit is the eyes of your soul into the supernatural. And your soul is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. So, in order for you to see clearly in both worlds, you need to make sure that your spirit and your mind is aligned. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, the way your mind is aligned, because notice now, go back so you can understand the importance of why we keep going over this. Nothing wrong with your spirit. So your spirit is not out of line. Yes, when you got born again, what happened was your spirit was now awakened. Mm-hmm. So that's born again, meaning become awake to who God is. Mm-hmm. So, and to who you really are. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, you found out your origin. Mm-hmm. So that means nothing wrong with your spirit. All right, so that means that my mind, if anything, got to do some shifting, mm-hmm. it's going to be my soul. My soul has to be shifted and aligned to my spirit.
Yes.
So now, if I'm made in the image of God, right?
Yes.
I'm made in the image of God, that means that my spirit is made just like God.
Yes.
So if my spirit, go to John the first chapter, and we'll come back to Hebrews 11. So if my spirit is made out of the same stuff that God is made of, that means in order for me to align my mind with my spirit, it's going to have to be used. I'm going to have to use the word of God to do it. Right? Because John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. See that? Mm-hmm. So it's making God and His Word synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we have God's Word that's been written and given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of aligning our souls with our spirit so that we can see clearly in both worlds. See, you must understand that you can see clearly in both worlds. You have a right to that. And it's not you trying to see in the spirit world. Your mindset has to become, I can see in the spirit world. Not I'm trying to see. I can see. So if I can see in the spirit world, thank you, Holy Spirit. If I can see in the spirit world, but I'm not seeing the spirit world, something blocking me. Something is blocking me from seeing in the spirit world. It's not if you can see in the spirit world. You can.
Mm-hmm.
You can. So if you can't see into the supernatural, there's something blocking you, and you have to remove the blockage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that you're trying to attain the ability to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to do so.
Amen.
So I need you to understand that. See, that takes you from defense to offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I'm trying to attain something. It's I have something, I just got to find out why I'm not using it properly.
Yes.
All right? And so God's word is the thing that helps us align our mind to our spirit,
mm-hmm.
so that we should be able to walk seamlessly between one world and the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Be able to move seamlessly between, because in the unseen world is where the mysteries of God is. And it's based on us and how we operate, whether those mysteries get manifested into the natural. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. See, I'm saying all this because your imagination, because then we start talking about dreams and visions. And dreams and visions has to do with your imagination. and has to do with your ability to create pictures. And not only your ability to create pictures, but your ability to allow the Holy Spirit to create pictures. See, when the Holy Spirit creates pictures, that's God trying to get something across to you. And see, the more we train our imagination, the more we get our soul aligned. Listen to me, Internet. The more we get our soul aligned with our spirit, the more the Holy Spirit can form pictures for us.
Wow.
Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the first verse, the Apostle Paul is... give us some qualifications. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And it says, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, full of faith, full of assignment.
Yes.
It's required in a steward. So, if I'm going to have access to the imagination of God, do you know what the mysteries of God is? I just discovered this last class what the mysteries of God is. It's very simple. You know what the mysteries of God is? Jeremiah 29:11. Turn there. That's the mysteries of God. Jeremiah 29:11. Very familiar scripture, but I want you to see it. For thus said the verse Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's the mysteries of God. What God is thinking about you. Now, in order for you to access what God is thinking about you, you're going to have to be faithful,
amen,
full of faith,
mm-hmm,
or full of assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Romans 10:17. Now, all this has to do with your imagination. We're going to get to it. It has to do with your imagination. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Y'all know it. So then, faith or assignment cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Word being rhema. So, if I'm going to be faithful or full of faith, it's going to have to come from me hearing God talking to me. The way I get God talking to me, it's all connected. It's very easy. The way I see if God is talking to me is through Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, why should my mind be renewed? The latter part of the verse says it. So that I can prove, or my mind can be aligned, so I can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? So now go to Hebrews 11. So, in order for me to access the mysteries of God, I have to be faithful.
Yes.
If I'm going to be full of faith, that means I have to be full of God's word. Or, more better, let me say it like this, spending time with God so God can talk to me. Remember now, words form pictures. So God's word is forming pictures for me. All right? God's word is forming pictures for me so that I can recognize when God is talking to me.
Yes.
Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Watch this, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that means if something that we see came from an unseen world, that means it has to have a passage. It had to pass through something. So that passage is our spirit and our mind working together. See, without our spirit and our minds working together, there is no passage from the natural to the supernatural and from the supernatural to the natural. So this is where our imagination comes into play. This is why God says in Isaiah 118, turn there. Isaiah 118. He says in verse 18 of Isaiah, the first chapter, come now and let us reason together. God say, come let us reason together, or let's put our thoughts together. Let's put our minds together. Though your sins or your actions be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So now, we read verse 19, but don't realize that's a process in verse 18. See? It's a process in verse 18. It's a process of us, our mind being renewed. We're letting God give us a picture. We mulling on the picture. We then, because see, now, remember, Jesus said this, I think it's in Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, he said, now notice it, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All that's really saying is, if you can be convinced. I'm not asking you to do it. Just be convinced. So now that's, he said, if you believe. If you can change your thought process, if you can change the picture that you have, other words, this is so powerful that Jesus is even talking about, because remember now, you got to remember, if thou canst believe, mm-hmm. He was talking to, a young man with his son. Mm-hmm. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now, what picture did that man have at that moment Jesus said that? Of his son dying. Jesus said, no, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So that means he had to change his imagination. He had to change what he was thinking. He had to change who was feeding him. He had to stop looking at his environment that was feeding him thoughts that was giving him an imagination on what to believe.
Yes, my Lord.
That's why confession is so important. Confession is not for God. That's why confession is important, because confession is allowing you to call those things that be not as though they were. What you, by you calling those things that be not, is giving you a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, if you can get, see, one of the most powerful principles for Josh that we see in Joshua. And go to Joshua about the imagination. Because you got to remember now, before you get to Joshua 5, there was Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua. One of the most powerful principles that we see in Joshua. He told Joshua in verse 8 of chapter 1 to meditate, right? Think about it. Don't let these words depart out. Focus on it day and night, right? What God was trying to do, get him in the habit of forming pictures. Because watch this. When you get to verse chapter 6, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see. Now, where did Joshua have to look to see? He couldn't look at Jericho. Because what verse 1 said, Jericho was what? So he God say, see, I've given you Jericho. That was not what was happening in the seen world. In the natural. But God, our Father, from a supernatural world, is telling Joshua to see. What did Joshua, where did he have to go to see? He had to go to the inside. He had to go on the inside. He had to go into the inside to see. See, a lot of times we're quoting scriptures, but we're not letting the scriptures give us a picture. Listen to me there. We're not letting the scriptures give us a picture. We let what we see on the outside give us a picture. This is why you can't spend a lot of time watching TV. This is why you can't spend a lot of time watching TV, because watching TV, you are a spectator. They're telling you their script. Instead of you developing your own script about your life. Are you seeing this?
Yep.
So Joshua had to see. So now when Joshua was seeing, what Joshua was doing was convincing himself of what God already knew was about to happen. Because even though God knew it was about to happen, Joshua was the catalyst of it getting to the natural. So without Joshua in alignment with what God wanted, nothing can happen.
That's right.
Wow. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that is. If thou canst be convinced, all things are possible to him that is convinced. So that's why God told Joshua to see, because God, I know he had already prepared Joshua to see. Because he told him meditate. So when he told him meditate, he was already trained to see. So he knew he was going to go on the inside and see that Jericho was theirs. So now watch the importance of this. Now watch the importance. Listen to me now. Watch the importance of this. When you are convinced that something is going to happen in your life, it's much easier to recognize the instructions to get it done. No matter how off the wall the instructions are, when you're convinced and you've been spending time with God, then you can easily recognize, prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, so now that's where discipline comes in. All right, discipline. That's where we get the words disciples, because those guys and ladies that were following Jesus during that time, there was some sacrifice they had to make, some discipline they had to do, some things they had to cut out, some things they had to stop doing because it was prohibiting them from becoming from going the direction that Jesus wanted them to go. So they had to be disciples, or they had to learn disciplined, right? So In our case, we're Christians, but we have to be disciples, disciplined. You know, what it means to be disciplined. Discipline is simply this: doing what you want to do and what you don't want to do to get to where you want to go.
That's good. Yes, sir.
That's what discipline is: doing what you want to do and what you don't want to do to get to where you want to get to. That's discipline. Because there are times, listen, you in the flesh, there are times when you don't want to, you don't want to pick up your Bible. You
don't want to.
Man, that's just human. That's that sin nature that's still lying in there. Don't want to. That's why you have to constantly spend time with God.
Amen.
So that you can prove. There are times when you don't want to pray. But you have to tell your body, yes, you're about to do this. And you know after about a few minutes, it goes away.
That's right.
You're happy you did it. But it's that discipline. You see? And so this discipline, it's this discipline of training your mind. Training your soul, training your imagination, using the Word of God, reading the Word of God. That's why I love reading, because reading causes you to use your imagination. See, when you're watching TV, you don't have no active participation.
Right.
You're being entertained. Matter of fact. The root for entertainment, or the purpose for entertainment, came from the Roman Empire. And they had gladiators, and they would be entertained. Their shows are different things. That's why you got the Greek and Roman playwrights and all of. Because here's the thing. The Romans came up with the concept, even though we are applying pressure to these different geographical locations that we're conquering, these different countries that we're conquering, and we're forcing them to become Romans, if we give them something to take their mind off of, it'll be easier for us to indoctrinate them.
Wow. Contains my imagination.
See? So if I control what you're thinking,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I control how you feel. If I control what you're thinking, if I control your thoughts, I control how you feel.
Uh-huh.
I control what you're going to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So that's why they had the gladiators, and that's why they had the playwrights, because the Colosseum, people would gather in the Colosseum as a chance to be entertained.
Right. Yes,
you don't have to use your mind. You just sit there and watch. You don't got to think about nothing. Just sit there and watch.
Mm-hmm.
See? So therefore, during the day when they were being oppressed,
uh-huh.
it felt a little easy to deal with, because they knew the show was coming and they were going to get a break.
My God.
See? Relief. So that's what Satan does.
Mm-hmm.
Satan wants us to focus on what we can see, mm-hmm. focus on what other people are thinking, so that we don't use our own minds. And especially use our own minds enhanced with the Word of God.
Yes.
So imaginations, our imaginations become dull.
Yeah.
So therefore, God given us answers and we can't recognize them.
Wow.
Because our imaginations are dull. Joel, the second chapter. Joel, the second chapter. Let me find it. There it is. Joel, the second chapter. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And look what it says. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, those days will I pour out my spirit. So here it is, Joel is prophesying and saying, listen, God is going to give visions and dreams. Now what if you have a dull imagination? If you have a dull imagination, that means it's going to be hard to see these dreams
right.
and see these visions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I give you a prime example of what it means, what a true vision is. I never forget. Apostle tells this story all the time. And I got facts to back it up. All right. Apostle was telling him, we're going to close here. Apostle was talking about how, in his progression, how, you know, he was pastoring the small Baptist church, Mount Zion, and some people in Baton Rouge had called him and invited him to come and basically try out at another church, right? Yeah. And it was a church in Baton Rouge. And he went, and he came back, and the Lord told him, I'm going to do it here in Darrow, mm-hmm. All right? And, you know, the apostle said, man, I thought you're really going to use me. You're going to leave me out here in Darrow. I thought you were really going to use me, right? Mm-hmm. He said, the Lord told him this, I will buy them cars. They're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I will buy them cars and put gas in it, and they'll be glad to drive. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. That's God giving him a vision, yeah. Right? Yeah. Now, it was up to him to meditate on that vision, all right? Tell you, here's the facts to prove that we all know it come to pass, but here's the facts to prove that it come to pass. Every year during election time, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Funny. Every year during election time, we got local politicians from Ascension Parish coming in here thinking they're going to get votes of people out of here. What they don't realize is that 90% of our congregation is not from here. See, that's the vision. He said, I will buy them cars,
yes.
Put gas in it, yes. And they'll be glad to drive.
Yes,
God told him that, so what he did, he began to mold that vision. And next thing you know, people coming from all across every other parish, and very few people coming from Ascension Parish.
Wow. Yes, sir.
You see? So you have to have a vivid imagination. You have to train your imagination. Notice what God said in Isaiah 1 and 18. You come, understood you, come. Really, we're saying you come and let us reason together. Other words, I'm not coming to you. And watch this. It's not so much of you going into the holies of the holies. God is all the time with you. What it really is saying is you saying, God, I'm yielding. I'm coming. Lord, I want to access your presence. God, I'm yielding to your presence. You see? So he said, come, you come, let us reason together. Notice what else he said in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse. Casting down all imagination. What imagination? The ones that exalt itself against the knowledge of his knowledge. You see? So he's looking. A lot of times God wants to talk to us, but because we have such poor imaginations. Everything else has trained our imagination. Everything else is affecting our imagination except the Word of God. That's why reading the Word of God and meditating the Word of God puts us in a position to hear the voice of God. He said, he told Abraham, the Apostle Paul said that in the 4:21, he said that Abraham was fully
persuaded.
Fully persuaded. Now, you got to realize the significance of Apostle Paul's statement about him being fully persuaded. Because you got to remember, he was fully persuaded in a time when there was no Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Right.
So what made him fully persuaded?
His imagination.
See, he was fully persuaded. In other words, he was totally convinced. One of the things, watch this, a lot of times it ain't about your imagination. It's about you taking past events in your life that God have come through for you on and added to your imagination. Say, okay, God, he did this before. I know God can do this again. So now you got your memory involved in your imagination. That's why you can't let your memory just remember what your failures.
That's right. Amen.
That's why you can't rehearse your failures. Because now you need to hone this imagination.
Yes.
You need to hone this thought process. Because remember now, remember, you have to get your imagination to a point. Watch this. Get your imagination to a point. He told Joshua to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joshua had to use his imagination. And from his imagination, God gave him how they were going to do it. See, there's a fine line between your imagination and the Holy Spirit giving you a dream. But we made the gap so wide because our imagination is not honed. It's not sharp. So therefore, the Holy Spirit can give us a dream and we not even convinced. So if you're not convinced, how you gonna get? Come on, man. How you gonna get the instruction to do something? How you gonna obey and you're not convinced? You're not going to do nothing that you're not convinced of.
That's right.
You're not going to do nothing that you ain't convinced of. If you ain't convinced of it, you ain't doing it.
That's right. Amen.
You have to have conviction. Mm-hmm. You see? So our imagination gives us conviction. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My ability to act in my assignment comes from hearing the word of God. Comes from hearing from God talking to me. Mm-hmm. From hearing God telling me, hey, you can do this. Hearing God say, this can happen for you. Mm-hmm. I need you to see this. Yes. See, it's the same principle. He was fully persuaded. And it's not something that has happened in the past. God said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Right. So this process has been going on forever. It's just we got to get better at executing it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which means sometimes it's going to take me cutting off the TV. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's going to me cutting off some people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. See, When I'm believing God to go in a certain direction, anybody coming to me with something that ain't talking the outcome I want, you can't say nothing to me. You can't say nothing to me. I'm not listening to you. We can't talk about it. I'm not talking to you about this. You don't have the same imagination that I have. So you're not allowed to talk to me about this. If you ain't trying to come help me, if you ain't trying to come convince me, then we don't need to talk. I'm sorry your feelings hurt. I'm sorry. But just come talk to me later. Come back and talk to me after I got my imagination.
Amen.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, so it's cutting off TV, cutting off some people we talk to. It might be some stuff that we're listening to. You know? It may be some music that we're listening to.
That's right.
That's caused us to create imaginations.
That's right.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
So our imagination without your imagination being honed or being strengthened or being aligned, that's it, being aligned with the Spirit, with your spirit, it's going to be very hard to hear the voice of God. See, because in order to hear the voice of God, you got to be convinced that the voice of God is going to make a difference.
Right.
If you're not convinced that the voice of God is going to make a difference, why listen for it?
Amen.
See, Jesus said, if you believe, that's not something, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you believe.
That's right. Amen.
God ain't going to make you believe.
Amen.
Listen, whether you believe or not, God exists.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's got a lot of people that died and gone to hell because they didn't believe there was a God until they got to hell and realized, oof, I was wrong.
Right.
It didn't stop God from existing.
Amen.
And it didn't stop God from being who he is.
Amen.
So that's why it's in our court to believe.
Amen.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So you have to hone your imagination. It takes discipline. It's not something, this ain't the internet, this is not something that automatically happens. It's not the, man, listen, sitting in a chair and trying to meditate, if you ain't practice, Oh, man, your mind will go everywhere.
That's right.
Your mind will go to thinking about, oh, I got to get this done. I got to do this. And you got to learn how to steal your mind. Steal your mind. I meditate every day. I steal my mind. And I steal my mind. I'm thinking about the Word of God. Every morning, it's not a morning pass, I'm listening to Matthew, the sixth chapter, the whole chapter. Because it gets me. Now, from there, I go to different parts of the Bible. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead me over here. The Holy Spirit will lead me there. Or I listen to something, the Holy Spirit will take me there. But it's getting in that mold to where you steal your mind. You steal those, STILL, those thoughts. You steal. Make them still. Make them be still. Don't let your mind run all over. You control your mind. You control your imagination. When something happens that don't agree with what you want, you begin to say the opposite to form pictures. See, when you form those pictures, you begin to control your thoughts. When you control your imagination, your thoughts, you are aligning with your spirit. See, your spirit are already straight. It's your mind be doing this here. It's your mind be doing this here, but you got to get that bobblehead straight. You got to hold it there. You got to hold it. Don't let it bobble. Don't go try to, something might hit you. You're going to bobble. No. I'm going to hold it right here. I'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir. I'll never look at the bobblehead.